everyone. What's going on? Tune in to another episode of the Black Esports. This is Dennis, and it is a pleasure to be here with you yet again. We've kept the consistency going, so it's greatly appreciated. Let us know that you are loving our guests, you are loving the content, and today's guest is just as well-known and well-appreciated. I'm going to introduce him. He's going to tell you a little about himself. So I'd like to introduce Mr. Marcus Esports Howard to the show. Marcus, how are you doing today?
Awesome, man. Yeah, I'm blessed.
I hear that. So I want to give you the floor to let people know a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to jump right into this.
Sure. So thanks for the opportunity, man. It's an honor to be a part of the program, especially for Black History Month. I started playing video games when I was six. That inspired me to get into technology. And in ninth grade, I started building my first video game on the TI-83 Plus graphing calculator. And that's when I connected that, like, video games are apps, just like this app that we're using, right? And all apps are made with code. So then games are made with code. And when my parents were trying to get me to learn to code to make websites, I didn't want to have anything to do with that. But when I found out they were made with games were made with codes, I was teaching myself. Flash forward, 10 years now, graduating IT at Georgia Southern, another 10 years working in the industry, just connecting game developers with endemic and non-endemic brands, definitely with a focus on inclusion and sustainability.
That's awesome, man. It's really cool. So I know you got into it because your love for coding, but is there anybody you would say that kind of inspired you or motivated you either as you were going on this progression into this gaming world or currently?
My brother, right? I have an identical twin brother. He lives up in Georgia, and my sister is about 18 months younger than me. So we all just grew up playing, couch co-op games. And we all still, love playing video games to this day. I have less time to do that now than I did 20 years ago. But that's like the core of the experience for me is like, and even through, the pandemic, that's how we all stay close, was still playing video games. We were all able to go back to that.
Isn't that crazy how gaming, no matter how old, how young you may be, it's still so much of the glue that can bring people together in the craziest times. So I think that's kind of dope that you mentioned that. As you know, we're celebrating Black History Month in esports, and sometimes I kind of look at that. The industry is still so new, so a lot of the things we're doing to this day at some point may be considered to be history. So in the celebration of Black History Month, how do you see the representation of Blacks or minorities within the esports industry space?
I'm encouraged by the tenacity and the resilience of Black communities and other underrepresented communities. I'm also embarrassed by the lack of impact that we've been able to create, despite the fact that we're being hyper-monetized by the ecosystem. And in some cases, unfortunately, exploited. Everyone's quick to, point to the token Black person whenever there's some programming, but here we are, the resources are still not really getting to the communities. So I don't know, like cautiously optimistic, I guess.
Fair enough. And, I appreciate the candid honesty because without us being honest about our current situation, how can we really where we're trying to go, where we would like to be, in this industry? So I really appreciate that. And, has there been any challenges that you have faced that you might want to share, and also by sharing how you might have overcome that challenge in the industry?
Sure. So the first time I got into esports was in 2017, DreamHack Atlanta. And, shout out to Pharaoh's Conclave. I don't know if you've been up the Atlanta area, but Chiquita like on the brother's name, the Thomases up in Atlanta, invited me to be a part of that. My brother and I had an indie game arcade, and we brought it as part of that activation. And I remember like it was yesterday, we went to the show floor, right? And they had, it was supposed to be a partnership, like a 50-50 partnership between Pharaoh's Conclave and and DreamHack. And then we got there, we had like 30% of it. They had the other 70%. They had a bigger production, so that was cool. But 1 or 2 days in, they decided that they only wanted to see the Black experience at their convenience. And so they actually ended up getting in a disagreement with Eric. His brother's name is Eric Thomas. They put a retaining wall so people can see. There's like, they put a retaining wall up between all of the Black companies, right, who were here, all of the Black companies, and the rest of the convention. So if you came down the stairs, you literally couldn't see any of us. You couldn't see us or hear us. It was literally a retaining wall between all of us and the rest of the convention. It was like that the rest of the show. Even though that same event, they had Waka Flocka come and perform. So it wasn't a lack of interest in Black culture, the Black experience. It was at their convenience. And so my takeaway from that was that if you want a seat at the table, you have to build a seat at the table. And I don't know if you saw yesterday, I produced what I believe to be the most inclusive and accessible venture capital event for the gaming industry. We had 20 companies present, and over half of them had underrepresented, overlooked founders.
That's crazy. It's crazy. It's like the industry is so new, but in some regards, it's almost like, are we watching history try to repeat itself in terms of we're here, we're ready, we're creative, we're capable, and yet there's still this type of divide. And unfortunately, that is unfortunate, but the fortunate part right now is that we're talking about it. And I think sometimes it goes unsaid, or it's not talked about, or we're not even talking to each other, about the trials and the tribulations. But in the light of esports, not everything is bad. So could you highlight some of your successes and your triumphs that you've also had within the esports realm?
Excellent, excellent. And there's been a number of those, right? So again, I'm blessed. Even though, there's been some challenges, we've overcome a lot of those. I helped co-produce the HBCU, the first HBCU Esports Conference and Career Expo back in 2021, the digital one in a metaverse. So we partnered with this wasn't Sandbox, I'm blanking on it now, but a metaverse in order to produce that when the Super Bowl came here to Tampa Bay. And it allowed a lot of students to see and hear from experts in the industry where they wouldn't have that opportunity. It was a free event, it was virtual, right? And so we created that access to that information. I also had the opportunity to publish this book, and I'm sure you've seen some of it, right? There's a lot of representation of the Black community here. I was very intentional about that. I wanted everybody to be represented in the book, but I also wanted to make sure, right, the Black community was represented here as well. Because as you know, there's a major stigma in our communities against gaming from our leadership, our seniors, right? Our elders. And now I'm working to help increase the talent pipeline into the gaming industry, partner with an amazing company in Hawaii, with an opportunity in Texas where we're providing free software development training to Black and Hispanic Americans in Texas. So that in 6 months, they go from they don't know anything about code to they're now fully qualified to start an entry-level job in the gaming industry or outside the gaming industry as a software developer with an average starting salary of 60 grand per year. So we're raising them and their families, their communities above the poverty line.
That's a beautiful thing, and that's definitely something to would be considered a success. It's almost like it eclipses what was the issue or what the problem was, because that happened, but what you're doing is so much bigger than it's so much valuable to the community overall, especially the minority community of, hey, you know what? They may have put us in the corner, but when you did that, this is what we're doing. We're creating real opportunities. We're creating these coding things, So I highly recommend you on that. And now, out of those things you mentioned, and I'm just curious, is there one thing in particular out of those that you're the most proud of? And if so, why that?
I'm most proud of the potential for this program that we started in Texas because I think we can scale it. I was just, we started this a little bit late because I was speaking at a school here in Tampa, and I met with a gentleman whose father's a pastor, and he sees some opportunity for that program here in Tampa Bay, right? And I don't know if you've seen, I got in a lot of trouble here locally. There was an article. Sorry, there was a job description that was posted saying they were for candidates, they wanted preferably Caucasian candidates here in Tampa Bay. And so I made a lot of noise about that, right? I raised the profile of that, especially when there was the Startup of the Year event was here in Tampa Bay. All eyes are on Tampa Bay, and I'm raising this issue because nobody is discussing it. I think I've gotten blacklisted here to a degree because of it. But even at that, in the technology sector, I still have this opportunity to help our communities and communities at large, right? It's equally a class issue, I think, as much as it is a race issue, minority communities, but create that opportunity for upward mobility and again, generational wealth. I don't know if you've seen the stat. There's a report that says, a 2017 report, but this happened before the pandemic. It estimated that by 2053, the median household wealth of Black Americans would fall to zero. That means basically perpetual debt. That was before the pandemic. And we know that the pandemic hit the urban communities like worse than it did non-urban communities.
It definitely did. With that being said, do you think that if we were to pay attention to what's going around us, esports industry specific, do you think there's an opportunity for us to combat that stat that is, doom and gloom that's in front of us? Is there real opportunities for us as it states in the esports world?
I think so. I think, what got me into tech was video games, right? And I think when I talk to a lot of folks in the space, they got into business or tech because of their love for video games. I think if we find a way to channel that we can create those opportunities. So short answer is yes.
No, I love that. And it's something that I think, and even kind of what has brought us together to have this conversation. The digital world is amazing. And when you utilize it, it creates real opportunities. LinkedIn simply connecting with each other was it's like, hey, let's take this initiative, let's connect. And then now here we are, speaking of Black about esports and Black individuals within the esports realm. It's almost like a snowball effect, right? It started from a simple click on a LinkedIn, and you add me to your friend, and now we're able to speak on a higher level and relate to it being in the industry together, and realizing that the core goal, and if I'm understanding correctly, is you're utilizing your love for what you do to inspire and empower others to possibly take advantage of this opportunity. So I definitely commend you on that. As your journey has gone, and none of us know it all, is there anybody you would say that kind of helped you as like a mentor or shine light on something that you didn't really know about as you were going through this journey?
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Sebastian Chosen One Burton, right? So I actually connected with him, met him for the first time in 2017 at that event. And so I didn't know, heads or tails about esports. I started in the gaming industry. I hate to call it proper, but gaming industry proper, right? Outside of esports, with my platform, my brother and I were solving game discovery. So we're working with indie studios from around the world, but didn't really know much about esports. So when we actually put together that activation in 2017 at DreamHack, one of the games was doing esports, but we still didn't quite understand it. And so Sebastian was just patient and helpful and just an open book about like his experience, his successes, his failures, his insights, right? He does consulting, so he could have charged me for that, but he didn't. And that gave me a solid foundation to build on.
Nice, that's awesome. As we're having the conversation and people are tuning in, we have a question from Jamie Alexander. He says, "What is that program in Texas that teaches people software skills, and where can I find that?"
Great question. So the program is called Ready to Work. It's in San Antonio. And our program is game slash software development. So we teach software development through the lens of making games. What you learn to do is to write code, but the reason you're learning to write code is to make games. So you are empowered both to make games as a game developer, or if you choose not to, or you don't find the opportunity you want in the gaming industry, you can use those exact same tool sets, those exact same skills, that knowledge, those insights, domain expertise to make apps outside of gaming. And then as you know, right? Like everything is using games these days. Rendering
Yes.
cars and architecture and the movie industry, right? There's so many opportunities that aren't like native gaming that still leverages gaming tech.
Yeah. No, it's a great. Everything has become, as we say, gamification.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just like, and the youth, even younger than us, is just programmed for it. Like they pick up on patterns and styles and everything so quickly. You know, the technology, it's always growing. But as it's continued to grow extremely fast, and as you had mentioned, there was somebody who kind of helped guided you along your way. Is there any advice that you might be able to give to a younger or older gamer? Because there are gentlemen like ourselves who, you know, hey, we've played games casually. Maybe I want to get into this. Maybe I don't. Or there's a younger gamer who's trying to find their way. What advice might you be able to pass on to them to help them?
That your opportunity is in your obstacle. I'm repurposing two books from a gentleman named Ryan Holiday. His first book was is Ego is the Enemy, and his second book is The Obstacle is the Way. While I haven't read the second book, I did read the first one, and it's fantastic. So my advice is a repurposing of The Obstacle is the Way. In that, like, if the thing that challenges you may be your opportunity for growth. So, as I'm sure you know, right, less than 1% of venture capital in the US goes to startups with Black founders. And I spent the last 10 years talking about that to anybody who would listen, and people just stopped listening, right? I made progress, but I think in some regards it was negative progress. And
Right.
just at the end of last year, as I was reflecting on what I wanted to do with the next phase of my career, I wanted to be less, while I know what I was doing was adding value, I don't think I was adding enough actionable value. And that's why I kicked off that event that I hosted yesterday. So what I'm
Okay.
saying is that I found the challenge, the obstacle, the ecosystem, systemic, racial bias, anti-Black bias. And instead of kind of wallowing in it or even trying to just talk about it to raise awareness, I turned it into an opportunity. And now I'm going to grow and hopefully create, value for our community and many other communities.
No, I love it. I love it. And you mentioned on community and being a part of the Black community or the diaspora, as sometimes it's referred to when you're outside of the country. How important would you say it is for us to come together as a community within the esports and gaming industry?
I think it's vital. I actually had an opportunity to work with Kwesi. I don't know if you know Kwesi Hayford from Ghana. I work
Kwesi. I met another gentleman in Ghana, but I don't believe I met Kwesi.
Okay, so
I know Kwesi. I spoke with him, but I have not met with him.
so I'll be sure to connect the two of you if you aren't already connected. But I was invited by him and some of our diasporans in Africa to speak at a African esports event. Like, they wanted to know what could they learn from us and vice versa. And what I was explaining to the community during that event was that Africa has an opportunity to get it right, right? Like, if you look at what's happened in esports, and we are now seeing a correction from basically unsustainable growth, vanity metrics, all of that, Africa hasn't yet had the growth that we've seen in the East and in the West, again, excluding Africa. So they have the opportunity to learn from our collective ecosystem successes and failures, right? What we did well and our mistakes.
Very true. Very true. Yes, and you know, and I tend to say this in a simplistic way, but a real way, is the irony of everybody who plays a game. Gaming was established on community. You played with your friends. You have the FGC, the fighting game community. And it's so ironic that we understand that gaming is a community-based game. And I really feel that as a community, we should start to bring and really hone in on that concept as a community. It's just like, okay, hey, listen, if we're playing the game together, we can support each other together. We could do business together. And it's kind of already embedded in us instead of looking at, okay, well, this is my competition versus if you're playing a sport game, you're working with a team. And the same way you're able to get that high score, you know, it's a parallel of what we have the opportunity to do in this industry. So I love the fact that you articulated that in over in Africa when you had a chance to speak. So kudos to you. But it was very real. They have a chance to learn from what was done wrong and what they can do right. And even now, so with us being here today, hopefully the message is heard that we still have the opportunity to change what we might have done in the past in other atmospheres, other arenas, but we can really change it, you know, within the world of esports as well. So, you know, I definitely do value your insight on that. But random question. Would you go to Africa again, or do you plan to go there again?
I've never been. So Sebastian went. Oh, okay. But I helped Sebastian. Sebastian actually produced Ghana's. Sorry, let me get this right.
Yes.
The esports, the largest prize pool esports tournament in Ghana's history. Sebastian produced that like 3 or 4 months ago. He just actually got back from Ghana and Africa more generally. He was there for like 30 days. I think that's his third visit there in the last 2 years. So, you know, he's representing all of us that can't get there. He's putting in the groundwork, definitely investing into ecosystems there, sharing knowledge, sharing contacts. And so I'm supporting him, supporting, you know, the African continent. I have not been yet. You know, that's okay. Not the way that my money is set up right now, but I would love to get over there.
Yeah, right. I got to win a couple more tournaments, buy a couple more games. Right, I get it.
Right.
Fair enough. I mean, in a perfect world, if we could change what is going on in the industry right now, what do you think that change should be? And how do you think we could go about getting there?
I just saw an article today that Riot Games announced the official name for Project L, formerly Project L. It's now called like 2XKO. And so Riot Games, which is arguably one of the largest gaming companies, at least here in America, if not globally, or and for sure within the esports ecosystem, they're a global leader, is going to start to put a lot of attention to the fighting game community. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity there for the urban community, which is what the fighting game community was built off of, the genesis of the fighting game community, right? To have a major stake there if we can avoid the culture vultures. Because just like we have always known the opportunity is there, and Riot Games is now seeing it, I'm sure a bunch of these formerly funded by VC tier one esports orgs see that. And I talked to a lot of people who were at Evo last year, and they said they could see it, like a presence of tier one teams that didn't care about the FGC until all the rest of the VC money dried up. But they see all the sponsors are there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I guess as in the future, because we addressed that, their eyes are there. How do you think we could improve the diversity within the gaming realm, in your opinion, in the future? What are some things or some steps that we can take? Because marathon isn't run in one step. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a long process. But if there was anything that you could say that we could do as soon as today or tomorrow to help improve the diversity or inclusion in gaming, what would you suggest?
This is going to sound so promotional.
I'm
working with an indie developer in Finland. We're launching a new game, his game. He's been working on it for 2 years. It's called IAH Internet War. I Am Hacker Internet War. It plays like a mix between StarCraft and Tron. What's cool about this game is the single player you play with a mouse and keyboard or a controller, so it's accessible across multiple platforms. He's already built a demo for PC and is going to launch it on console. But the multiplayer, not only can you play it with the mouse and keyboard, not only can you play with the controller, you can play the game, the competitive mode, by writing code or using ChatGPT. So the way he has designed the tournaments is that he wants non-endemic brands to come in and sponsor the tournament. Let's say, for the sake of the argument, Microsoft wants to get better at recruiting diverse talent or recruiting upcoming tech talent. Instead of them paying recruiters, or in addition to paying recruiters, they can also launch their own recruiting channel by sponsoring this tournament. Now, the people who win, it's a leaderboard tournament. The people who score the highest on the leaderboard wrote the best code, wrote the best chat GPT prompts. So not only are you winning cash, which is really important in urban communities and esports, but you also now can show documented evidence that you now know how to write code in chat GPT as a prompt engineer to start your career in the tech industry.
That is crazy. I really love what you're doing, and through having the conversations that I've been having with a lot of different individuals, everyone had a unique approach or understanding on how or why they got into esports. And I really love that you're bringing home the technology, the coding aspect of esports, because esports is so diverse. And at oftentimes we'll realize that, when the minority is minorities, when we hear esports, we think of video games, or like you said, it has a negative outlook toward it. But it is, conversation after conversation is being proven that it's a vast opportunity, endless opportunity. And to even know, like, if you're not a gamer, or you are a gamer, right, but you're coding, that you can have the opportunity to be scouted by a particular company for your coding skills, but in a gamification way. That's never happened before. So it's just super dope to, I can't code, right? But for those who can, I admire that skill set. And it's just a unique win-win opportunity for everybody. Because clearly Microsoft will win because they'll get their talent.
Right.
The coder will win because they'll get their money.
Yep.
And the individual who created this amazing platform would get a lot of people to give them opportunity. So I really think that's like really, really cool, man. Thank you for sharing that. Even though you might have said it was a selfish plug, it was a needed plug because that's kind of dope.
So we're hoping that as the game gets more traction and more popularity, like even if you don't know to code, but know how to code now, right? We're trying to build in basically coding tutorials, the basic programming concepts. We want to have kind of bracketing, like tiers, right? Just like you would see in ranked, first person shooters or fighting games, so that you can enter into tournaments at your coding level, right, as a beginner. And in that way, now you have a financial incentive to learn the code. The game is already fun. Like, go play the game. You'll agree 100% just the first time you play it that it's fun. But now you, in addition to it being fun, right, that's the core, that it's fun. You now have a financial incentive and B, a career incentive to play this game.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, we're going to wrap it up really quickly, but I do have another question because we do cover a lot of topics in rapid succession. But I do want to ask if there's anything or anybody listening, because we are on a platform that, what it's on wax. So once we're done, at some point in time, somebody can hear this. Is there anything you want to say or let the people know about yourself, your companies, or any of your endeavors? Kind of like another promotional plug, but also with a caveat that if there's somebody listening who can help you continue what you want to do, the floor is yours.
Cool. So I appreciate that. I'm trying to hopefully launch volume two of my book this year. I want to have it done by the end of the year so it could be a Christmas gift. Again, it took me 2 years to make this first book, and I broke even, but I didn't get rich off of it. This is not about me getting rich. This is about me doing what I think the ecosystem needs, right? The physical book is for leaders and seniors in our community who will only engage in this kind of information in this format, in a physical book. I have the digital book that I have made free, and my goal is to make the digital version of the second book free But again, like it cost me 35 grand to make that book. So if there are any sponsors listening, I want to make another excellent book, make it available to the global community. And I want to leverage that to create commercial value for the sponsors, where the book will be free, but on the sponsor's website. Like I won't even host the free book. I want everybody who wants the amazing content in the book, the knowledge, the insights, the free consulting I'm going to put in there, to go to the sponsor's website to redeem the book so that I am helping the top of funnel for the sponsor. And that's something that we're missing in
Awesome.
esports. Like you've got brands putting dollars in, but we don't have esports, ecosystem trying to get dollars back out to the sponsors. I'm trying to help fix that with this book as well.
Nice way to flip the coin. Now, would you mind sharing on how people could get to your book or find your book?
Sure. So the bit.ly to the book is bit.ly, so bit.ly/getfreegamingbook. bit.ly/getfreegamingbook. So bit.ly/getfreegamingbook. There's a short form to fill out again because I'm trying to document how much demand I have for a free book. So I can go to a sponsor and say, like, here's the demand for the first book. So here's what I forecast for the demand for the second book. But yeah, that link will get you the free book cover to cover. You can actually flip through pages of the digital book. It's dope. There's an entire chapter of game demos, just like we used to get in the old school gaming magazines. I got a whole chapter of 16 game demos in there too.
Awesome, man. It sounds like it's a book full of opportunity. So everybody who listened to it, it's a free book of opportunity. So you got to check it out, show support. I'm definitely going to make sure to provide the links wherever you see this video so you can check them out. And Marcus, I really, really appreciate you coming on the show. It was amazing. You gave, like I said, in such a condensed way, very impactful. And I appreciate you. So just want to say thank you so much, and I'm glad you were a part of this Black History Month in esports.
All right, man. Appreciate the opportunity. And anybody who's watching this live, join us back on LinkedIn because we're gonna have like a double feature, right? So we're launching my
That's
podcast
right.
episodes right after this, and you'll be the guest. I'll get to interview you, which I'm looking forward
Support, 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 baby.
All right.
All right.